the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in His temple, everyone says, Glory! The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Almighty and most merciful God, the protector of all who trust in you, strengthen our faith and give us courage to believe that in your love you will rescue us from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to Genesis 9, 14 and 15. And it shall be, when I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow is seen in the clouds, that I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Our Lord has complete power over His whole creation, water included. The Lord created water. The Lord can walk on water, as He did on the Sea of Galilee. He can withhold rain in keeping with His purposes. He can send rain, lots of rain if He chooses, all according to His good pleasure. Now, we praise the Lord. So far this summer, we've been blessed with enough nice rains to keep things good and green. We've been spared any serious flooding. Now, we know there were instances of flash flooding not too far away in Iowa and other places a few weeks ago. All that severe flooding in Thailand. Just this past week, some flash flooding out east. But none of these floods of more recent times have amounted to anything compared to that great flood God sent back in Noah's days. God caused the waters to come from the fountains of the great deep, the scripture says, and from the windows of heaven. It was subterranean water and torrential rain. And with all that water, it eventually covered the whole earth, mountains included, and all living things on the face of the ground were destroyed. Yet even in that destructive flood, God was in complete control, and He still is. It's exactly as we read from Psalm 29 in the intro, it, the voice of the Lord is over many waters. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood. And because the Lord does have complete control over the water, rain and seas and floods and everything, He was able to make, and He's able to keep, this covenant He gave Noah and his sons after the flood. You might remember, once Noah and his family and all the animals got off the ark, God spoke to them. He promised the continuation of seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. Then He blessed Noah and his sons, and God gave them a promise to which He attached a special sign. God designated the rainbow as a sign of the covenant He made with Noah and his sons and their descendants and all living creatures. By the way, did you notice how much that was emphasized in the reading? Three times He says, this is the sign of the covenant. The covenant was simply this, the promise that God would never again destroy the earth with a flood. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The sign of the covenant, the rainbow. That rainbow plainly points us to God's grace, because this was most certainly a covenant of grace. The promise He made to withhold worldwide destruction by a flood is a decision God made, just something He chose He wanted to do purely by His love, grace alone. For we understand grace is love we don't deserve. And that certainly was a matter of grace because the flood of Noah did not wash away man's sinfulness. Right after the flood, God declared, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his childhood. All of Noah's descendants, well, all but one,
they were still going to be born with sin-corrupted hearts. Hearts from which proceed all sorts of evil, as Jesus, the sole exception, pointed out in Mark chapter 7, which we're going to hear in just a few weeks. So when we hear God say, I'm never going to destroy you all with a flood again, that's not because we are somehow better or less sinful than the people who lived before the great flood. It surely is by God's grace. Again, that sign of the rainbow points us clearly to God's faithfulness, and it is great. God spoke of times when the rainbow is seen. That's a passive construction that doesn't specify who does the seeing. And there's a reason for that. That's because anybody can see the rainbow, both God and men. When God sees the rainbow, he remembers his covenant and he's faithful to keep that promise. And of course he has kept it, hasn't he? There's never again been a worldwide flood since the days of Noah. And when we see the rainbow, we too should remember God's promise, believe it, and give him thanks and praise. We have a gracious and faithful God. The rainbow is a sign of that. And yet there's more to the sign of the rainbow than just a promise that God's not going to wipe out the earth with a flood again. The very fact that God made this covenant is evidence he had a future in mind for Noah and his descendants. The way this promise is worded, it's very forward-directed, encompassing the people God said would live for all future generations. Now, he didn't say how many generations there would be, but it implies there's going to be a bunch of them. Or you think about just this, the very fact God had spared Noah and his family from the destruction of the flood in the first place, it indicates the same thing. I mean, if God didn't want people around anymore, why keep them alive? But he does want them around because he has a good plan in mind for countless people yet to come, including all of us here. Well, this too, sparing Noah and his family, brings us right back to God's grace, doesn't it? I think sometimes Christians get the impression, and probably just because this is the way our sinful minds think, we sometimes think, well, God must have spared Noah and his family because they were better people than everyone else who lived on the earth. But that's not what God says. God said all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That included Noah. Again, he said, every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil always. He didn't say everybody but Noah. The people back then are just like people today. Everyone is like that. So why did God choose to save Noah? Well, here's the answer God himself gave us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There it is. God chose Noah because God is gracious. God chooses to love people who don't deserve his love. That's the way it was back then. That's the way it is now. Or think about this too. The words with which God blessed Noah and his sons. Because his blessing is further evidence God had a future in mind for them and their descendants. He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I bet that sounds familiar to you. That's because it's exactly the same blessing God had spoken to Adam and Eve at creation. And it's pretty easy to get the significance of that, isn't it? God was giving mankind a new start. Something like a new creation. God wanted, and God still wants, the earth to be full of people. The more, the better. He wants lots of people to love. Keep going. God said, When the rainbow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant.
So we have to understand, in biblical thought, God's remembering is always active. It's not just thinking, it's doing.
And so when God says, I'm going to remember that covenant, it's not merely that he was going to think about his promise as opposed to forgetting it. And it's not even the mere fact that he was going to withhold any future earth-destroying flood, massively important as that is. But God's remembering is also this, that he would actively do something to establish that good future he had in mind for his people, the future that's entailed in this covenant.
Here we have to keep in mind the big picture. God had already promised to send a Savior.
The woman's male seed, singular, was going to come and bruise the serpent's head.
So Jesus Christ still had to come and deliver the crushing blow to our ancient enemy, Satan.
And you already know, the God who is gracious and faithful was most definitely going to keep that promise, which meant there had to be a future. There had to be plenty of time for that Savior to come.
And the fact that God had preserved the makings for a new creation, people, animals, plants, and everything, that shows he intended to prepare a lasting future for us.
And so, when the time was just right, the Savior came.
The Creator took flesh, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, thus becoming the woman's seed.
And once again, he demonstrated his almighty power over creation, not by a destructive flood, but by walking on the sea, calming the wind, feeding the multitudes with a tiny bit of food, countless other miracles.
And then he died in the flesh to atone for the sins of all creation, the sinful condition we inherited from Adam and Noah, and all the specific sins that flow out of our corruption.
And then he came back to life again as a victor over death and a restorer of creation.
Jesus came back to life, glorious and immortal.
You see, people, in all that saving work, Jesus Christ not only defeated the ancient serpent, but he also brought new life for all who believe in him.
How's that for the grace and faithfulness of God?
And now think about the way God has included you in all of this.
In his grace and faithfulness, God has provided another flood.
A flood not intended to destroy, but to connect us to Christ and his salvation.
God has given us a mini flood of water to make us a new creation.
And that flood is, of course, holy baptism.
Though the flood of Noah's day nearly destroyed all flesh, God says that flood also saved.
In that ancient flood, Peter writes in chapter 3, a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water.
Well, that's true. The water of the flood lifted up the ark and kept it afloat, thus saving the eight people inside.
And Peter immediately continued, baptism, which corresponds to this water of Noah's flood, baptism now saves you.
By means of baptism, God put to death our old self, which was nothing but sinful, and now he's made us new people, regenerated people, people whose sins are washed away.
Do you not know, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death?
We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death,
so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life. In this way, by the water of baptism, God has given all of us a new start. We have a new life as God's forgiven children. We're a new creation. We are people with a very, very good future in Him. So whenever you see a rainbow, so just kind of shrug it off and say, oh, that's kind of pretty. That's kind of cool. Well, think about what God says about it. Remember His covenant. Remember His grace. Remember His faithfulness. Remember, God's not going to wipe us out again with a flood. But He's washed us clean in the saving water of baptism to give us a wonderful and everlasting future as His people in Jesus Christ. That's what the rainbow means. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
As we pray for God's people this morning, we remember Donna Hansen with thanks. She's out of the hospital now in a Pekin Manor for rehab. Also, Roxanne Dixon, who is now home and on hospice care. Leah Stewart at Methodist Hospital. Mark Reeder at OSF. We also remember Wayne Bolt, John's father, who is seriously ill with cancer. We will pray responsibly, adding to each petition, Lord, have mercy. We rise. for the whole family of God in Christ Jesus, that all his baptized children may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we may be rooted and grounded in love, always mindful of his grace and faithfulness, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who serve in the office of the Holy Ministry, for our synodical president, district president, circuit visitor, and our pastor, for all teachers and other church workers, that in the midst of difficult times, the presence and words of Christ would fill their hearts with courage and drive away all fear, and that they would be filled with the conviction that God is able to do more abundantly than all we could ever ask or think. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For an increase in full-time church workers, for the spread of the gospel, that many more may come to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so be filled with all the fullness of God, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the leaders of our nation, all public servants, and all in the armed forces, that they may fulfill their varied callings with honor, courage, wisdom, and integrity, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who are sick or suffering other affliction, including Roxanne, Donna, Leah, Mark, and Wayne, also Aaron, Stacy, Tom, Christy, Cheryl, Bob, Karen, Bob, Sam, Sandy, Kim, Bill, and as many more as are in need, that Christ Jesus would ever be their health in sickness, their peace in turmoil, their joy in sorrow, and their life in death. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who draw near to the altar today, not merely to touch the fringe of the Savior's garment, but to partake of his very body and blood, that this sacrament may be for them for the forgiveness of sins, for strength in resisting temptation, for service in Christ's kingdom, and a pledge of the glories of the life that has no end, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Peace of the Lord be with you always. strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.